Hi everyone, today we're reading John chapter 4, verses 27 through 45. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you see?" Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which for you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Okay, so yesterday we talked through this fairly longer passage. It's the conversation that Jesus had with this Samaritan woman. And so again, the Samaritan woman comes in her shame and all of her burdens. She comes to this well to get water. But in this conversation, Jesus shows her and us that she's thirsting for something so much greater than just like H2O water. But what she really needs is living water from Jesus. And Jesus tells her essentially that I am the Christ. I am the one you've been longing for and waiting for. And so when we come to this passage, Jesus has just finished talking with her, or is finishing up talking to her. And his disciples come back and they're like, "Whoa, what's happening here?" And what they're thinking is like, "What the heck is Jesus doing here? Why is he talking to a woman?" But they don't say anything directly about that. Now, then we're told in verse 28 that the woman left her jar and went away into town, and she starts talking to the people. In verse 29. She tells them about this man who told her like all that she ever did. It's like, is this the Christ? So much. I'm going to get him out as well in the middle of the day when it's hot. That's not what people did, usually. She came out when it's hot to get water because she's avoiding the people of the town. But she has this conversation, this encounter with Jesus. And what happens? She leaves. She leaves. But what even is she came out to avoid people, right? She went to the well to avoid seeing people, to avoid feeling shamed by the people of town. And what does she do? She leaves her water jar behind, goes straight back to town, and she tells the people of the town about Jesus. And this is not a personal, individual transformation that's happened here. People hear this testimony about this situation, and it's all because they didn't let them go for her. They just know what's going on, and it's they tell Jesus. And then when we skip ahead then, it were the message because this time everybody and she tells about these things she's super important. Mortal is a Jewish man to stay with them. And Jesus stayed with them for 2 days to teach them, to bless them. And then verse 42, I think, is so cool. They say to the woman, "It's no longer you, but we ourselves know that this is." I'll remind us, this woman's testimony points people to Jesus, and as they encounter Jesus, they believe. It's much like John the Baptist, like what we said about him early in John. She is not the light, but she testified about that light. This is what happens when someone is transformed by Jesus. It shows to other people. It points to them. In the midst of this, Jesus is a little cold in the house. They have to find him some lunch. And Jesus tells them another very typical in this gospel, a cryptic double meaning kind of answer. He says, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And they're confused. They're like, Did someone else bring him food? Like, did you bring him food? Like, I thought we did this together, right? They're confused. But what Jesus is telling them in this passage is that there's a different kind of food, right? A different kind of satisfaction that is happening here, right? Jesus isn't hungry anymore because he's saying, like, his food is what he says. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. It's like, this is what brings him satisfaction and joy. That there's this harvest, that there's this food to, quote unquote, eat, to take part in, and it is so good. And that is what satisfies. He's saying, doing the will of God is what satisfies. And this should be our heart as well. When Jesus are here, in their full thirst and satisfied, you're going to enjoy it again. No matter how much food we eat, no matter how good it is, no matter how much like great health, like great a drink is, it only satisfies for a moment. It only brings us temporary joy if it tastes really good. No matter what, you're never satisfied because you're going to have to eat and drink again. But then we go deeper. That's what Jesus is pointing to this woman to, especially in his conversation with her. There's this existential hunger and thirst within our souls, a desire for acceptance, for love, for power, for satisfaction. But those desires are never satisfied either, right? No matter how much power we have, no matter how much people like us, the praise of man, status, whatever it is, they only satisfy for a moment. We're always left wanting more. And what Jesus is pointing his disciples to, what he pointed this woman to, what he's pointing us to is, in Jesus, in following God's will, only through that will our thirst be quenched, will our hunger be satisfied. Only that will bring us a joy that will last, a life eternal with God. And so as we close this devo, I just want to encourage us to bring our lives and our hearts before Jesus. And let's pray that our food, our satisfaction comes from doing God's will, from being with Jesus, and from doing the good works he's called us to. Let's pray for that transformation to happen in us. Maybe a lot of us, we've gone through the motions of doing the Christian things, and that's good to an extent, because it's brought us to a position where we can go after God, but it's not enough to just talk about the light. We need to be in the light. We need to like experience this transformation of being with Jesus. Let's pray that happens within our hearts. If it hasn't happened yet, let's pray for it to happen. If we've experienced it before, let's pray that we'll continue to find our joy and satisfaction in being with him. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you so much because you love us and you desire for us to find joy and satisfaction in you. And we pray that we will find that as we follow your will, God, as we do your work, I pray that we will rejoice in doing this, God. In being a part of what you are doing, as we experience transformation and being with you, Jesus, as we are, we're quenched by your living water, we pray that, that we'll just experience this joy. So bless us, God, and move in our hearts here. We thank you. We love you. We pray.